The arranging board meets together every month and discusses ways that we can help the members of the ecclesia. And every once in a while, we ask someone to give an exhortation to the ecclesia about a certain topic, and I've been asked to speak to you this morning. One of the things that we spend a lot of our time talking about as a arranging board is obviously the health of our members, and that's often reflected in our attendance at memorial service on Sunday, and the gradual falling away that we've experienced in several of our members. So they've asked me to spend a few minutes this morning talking about this subject, and I thought that it was a good idea to start in John chapter 15. Let's take a look at verse 4. Jesus says, "Abide in me," John 15, verse 4, "abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." From the very beginning, God never intended us to be alone. His intention was never for us to go through this all by ourselves. In the beginning, in chapter 3, God says, "It is not good for man to be alone." So you have to ask yourself, why would God design our lives this way? Wouldn't it be easier sometimes to just not have to deal with all the dynamics of being part of a group? All the politics and the personalities involved when you deal with other people? But God wants us to live together in an ecclesia for one very important reason. Love cannot be learned in isolation. Love can't be learned all by yourself, all alone. God wants you to be in regular, close fellowship with other believers so that you can develop your skills of loving, so that you can practice, so that you can exercise, so that you can work out, so that you can sweat a bit. Because it's not that being together in a group is automatically a loving environment. It's not that being together in a group is pleasant and sweet, and it's just so easy to love when you're in a group. Because the problem is that group has a bunch of people in it. And those people are just like you. They're human beings. They're imperfect. They're sinful. They're sometimes irritating and sometimes frustrating. But that is why God wants us together in a group, so that we can develop this skill of learning how to love people. People that sometimes aren't that easy to love. That's why Jesus is very clear about this in John 15. He says, "I am the vine and you are the branches." We're collectively referred to as this plant that's bound and connected together by our relationship to Christ. So yes, religion is a very personal thing. Yes, you do have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and it's about you and your baptism to Christ, but it's not singular. It's a community. All of us are bound to Christ, and therefore all of us are bound together. And the main purpose for that is so that we can learn how to love one another. Look, John continues in verse 12. He says, "This is my commandment," Christ says. "This is my commandment." It's simple. "That you love one another as I have loved you." That's the reason why you're together. That's the reason why you're here. He says in verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lie down his life for your friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. So we're all friends of Jesus. We all come here together because of that relationship we have to Jesus, to his sacrifice, to this bread and this wine. But it's not the same as eating bread and drinking wine alone in your own house. There's a reason that we're asked to meet together. The reason that God put us into ecclesias. For us to avoid putting ourselves in contact with the ecclesia is to circumvent the purpose and the goal of our Heavenly Father. You might just be tired. You might just be busy. You might just have had a busy week, or you've got a lot of things coming up in the next couple of days and you need to plan for it. But that circumvents God's purpose. It circumvents God's purpose for you, God's plan for your development and your improvement. See, the importance of fellowship isn't only because the ecclesia has asked it of you. It's not just because we tell you we'd like to have you here every Sunday. The importance of fellowship isn't only because God commands it of us, that it's the right thing to do. The importance of fellowship is that it's vital to the development of you. Your own personal development into the kind of person that God wants you to be, because he wants you to hear this exhortation. He wants you to read what you read in Psalms. And he wants you to visit afterwards with the person that maybe you were a little bit short to 2 weeks ago. Or maybe the person that you have a hard time talking to all the time. Because he doesn't want you just to go through life being friendly to people who are friendly. He wants you to go through life showing love to those that are hard to show love to. If we're to follow Christ's commandments and to love one another, we have to be around one another. We have to seek opportunities to spend as much time with brothers and sisters as possible. Not just maybe fulfilling the commitment to be here from 11 to 12:15, 3 out of 4 Sundays a week. But we have to reach out and find other opportunities. When else can I be around brothers and sisters? God wants me, Christ has commanded me to love one another. I want to do as much of that as I can, not as little of that as I can. So the ranger board pays attention to people's attendance. And we contact you when we start to get concerned about your attendance. Not because we like checking boxes on a spreadsheet. Not because we have control issues or power issues. And certainly not because we enjoy making those uncomfortable phone calls. We do it because we're concerned about you. Because we firmly believe that God has instructed us all that this is the best thing for all of us. Paul continues the same discussion in 1 Corinthians. Let's look up 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Jesus uses this example of a vine and all the branches. You know, and imagine, you know, one of those big giant vines that have all these branches sticking out all the different ways it goes. You know, Paul talks about another example. Paul talks about a body, a physical fleshly body. 1 Corinthians 12, he starts out in verse 12. He says, for the body is one, but it has many members. And all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ. See, Christ is not divided. Christ isn't, you know, part of him over here and part of him over here and part of him is here. Likewise, we are not to be split apart. We're to stay together as much as physically possible. Look, he continues in verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. Your body isn't just one thing. It's a whole bunch of different organisms with completely different looks and personalities and purposes, all working together as one. If the foot says, well, I'm not a hand, so therefore I'm not part of the body. is it really not part of the body? If the ear says, because I'm not an eye, I'm not part of the body, is it really not part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how could it hear? If the whole body were ears, how could it smell? Verse 18, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. You're not here because you chose to be. You're here because God chose you to be. God decided that this ecclesia needs somebody like you. And he brought you here. And you're vital to this ecclesia. You may not look like an eye or look like an ear or look like a hand. You might even be a liver. But you're vital to this ecclesia, and that's why you're here. God hath set the members, every one of them, I'm reading from the King James, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if we were all one members, where were the body? But now are there many members, and yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I don't have any need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. If you sever an organ from a body, it just shrivels up and dies. I mean, very quickly, immediately, you're going to start to see the effects upon it. And in a very short period of time, it's not even close to resembling what it was before. And its purpose and its function is gone and it's dead. So imagine, just think that through, this kind of a grotesque picture. But, you know, think through the picture of a severed limb. Russ can visualize this easily. He's an ER doctor. So, I mean, a severed limb, the first thing that comes to your mind is not a picture of healthy happiness. You don't see it. It's not like, you know, see a little child playing in a sprinkler. Visualize a little child running around playing in a sprinkler. And then visualize an arm laying in an alley. I mean, these are completely different pictures. This is not healthy. This is not happy. This is not good or wholesome. A severed limb can't exist on its own. And it immediately, it looks out of place, and it immediately starts to fade in color and then change ugly colors and then change its texture. And it no longer is able to perform the purpose that God created it for. And the same thing is true of you. When you become spiritually disconnected from the body, when you find yourself spiritually disconnected from the ecclesia, even if you're here but disconnected, your spiritual life begins to wither. And spiritually, you'll eventually cease to exist. That's why the first symptom of spiritual decline is usually inconsistent attendance at the memorial service and the other gatherings of the body. When you become careless of fellowship, other things in your life spiritually begin to slide also. Now, no one here is immature enough to think that attendance at memorial service is the only arbiter of spiritual health. Everyone realizes and understands that there could be circumstances that could hinder your attendance. We've all seen a real revival in the outward evidence of Steve Walker's spirituality in the past couple of months as he's struggled with his cancer. And he's not here today. But that's not because of a spiritual decline, right? Membership in the family of God is neither inconsequential nor something to be casually ignored. You don't say, Magic Mountain or Memorial Service? Well, we go to Memorial Service all the time and we hardly ever go to Magic Mountain. It's not casual. It's not something we can just ignore. You have to be here in order to participate in the fellowship of our ecclesia and the fellowship with Jesus. Look at Romans chapter 12. Romans 12 talks about this idea of us being members of one body. I like how Romans says it. Romans 12, verse 4. For as we have many members in our one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one of us members one of another. How good is this finger if it's not connected to the arm? How good is the arm if it's not connected to the shoulder? How good is any of it if the brain doesn't tell it what to do or the heart give it the blood necessary to live? We're introduced here to this concept, every one of us members one of another, a concept I'll call mutuality. This idea of mutuality, of two parts to this arrangement. This is not a give and give and give, a give and take relationship. This is mutuality. The ecclesia is responsible to do whatever it can to help you in your walk towards the kingdom. That's why we're here. That's the sole purpose we're here. We're here because Christ, God commanded us to remember Christ's death. And the reason, our goal here is to do whatever we can to help you in your walk towards the kingdom. And you are responsible to be open to that process. You're responsible to not fight it, to go along with it. And you also, collectively, as a member of the ecclesia, are responsible to do whatever you can to help others in their walk. And they're responsible to be open to that process. That's mutuality. We're each responsible for each other. Even if the process is sometimes awkward, even if the process is sometimes uncomfortable, or not pulled off in the most mature, experienced, or compassionate way it could be. None of us are good at this. None of us have a real easy way to talk to you and make you feel comfortable about this discussion we're going to have. None of us are good at having these uncomfortable discussions with each other. But all of us have to remember how important they are. And not to avoid our responsibility to each other just because of our anxiety about having to bring something up that nobody really wants to talk about. As brothers and sisters and members of one another and members of the body of Christ, we need to make it our goal to try to be as open and accepting as possible of the person who loves us so much they take time out of their life to talk to us about an area that they feel concerned about our spiritual life. That was a long sentence. I'll do it again. As brothers and sisters, make it your goal to be as open and accepting as possible of the person who loves you enough to take the time to talk to you about an area where they feel concerned about your spiritual life. Give them the benefit of doubt. They don't want to bring this up. They feel compelled by their love of Christ to come and talk to you about it. Mutuality means that we're all in the same position. Each one of us share the same responsibility for each other. I have no more responsibility as the recording brother than you do as a member to reach out and connect with someone who you feel needs help. Don't say, well, I'll talk to a recording brother about that. He should do something about that. Or I'll talk to one of the Ranger brothers. They should do something about that. You should do something about that. You are the ecclesia. The arranging board isn't, and I'm certainly not. You need to have that awkward, uncomfortable conversation. And trust me, they usually start out awkward and uncomfortable, and they usually end up loving and wonderful. Mutuality means that we're all in that same position. At the last arranging board meeting, for example, I got upset about something, and I said things I shouldn't have said, and I felt bad about them immediately, and all the next night, and all the next day. and a brother that I love and respect very much had the courage to call me on it. Now, I'm sure he didn't want to do that. He didn't get some perverse pleasure out of calling out the recording brother. But he loved me enough to be concerned about my spiritual well-being that he attempted to try to help me. And help me he did. His call allowed me a simple and easy way for me to release my guilt and my bad feelings about what I had said and to make a few apologies to people that I've hurt and to restore my relationship with a few people. That is fellowship. That is the reason why God put us together. That's why God wants you to be a part of this ecclesia. It's why he wants you to show up. He wants you to have relationships. When you get baptized, you say, I do. Do you believe the things concerning the name of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God to come on the earth? I do. But when you say, I do, you're saying, I do to a lot of things. You're washing away your sins, and you're entering into a saving relationship with Jesus. But you're also joining an ecclesia. And you agreed to come. You agreed to meet together with your brothers and sisters every week and remember the death and the resurrection of your Lord. And you agreed to pursue a life of self-improvement by spending as much time around the Bible as your schedule allows. And that means attending the Bible studies sponsored by the ecclesia. And you agreed to be part of a fellowship. And that means committing yourself to attending as many ecclesial activities as you can, so you can develop your relationships with these brothers and sisters that you are a part of. And you agreed to mutuality. And that means making yourself open to the loving suggestions and the concerns of brothers and sisters whose only goal is not to be nosy. Their only goal is to help you grow in your relationship to Christ. Before I close, I want to share a few thoughts about the arranging board. You are blessed in this ecclesia to have this group of individuals who work hard to help with the growth and development of your own spiritual relationship with God and Christ. Working to help you with your personal development. Few ecclesias are blessed with such a well-rounded group of brethren who share such positive and Christ-like attitudes about their service. Let's look at Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13 gives us some good advice about our relationship to the arranging board. Hebrews 13, I'm going to read from the NIV. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. You couldn't do much better than imitating the faith of Gordon or David Rakich or Kim Carroll or Russ McLeod or Brad Stiles or Ken Somerville. Those are the leaders that you've elected. And you can make their lives a little bit better. Keep reading down in verse 17. Verse 17 says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch out for your souls as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. I mean, listen to it. That's the King James. Listen to it from the NIV. Submit to their authority, that they keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden. For that would be of no advantage to you. They're not giving up their Monday nights to sit around and talk and pray and worry and think about what they can do because they're bored, because they got nothing else to do that Monday night. They're committing that time to try to help you. So do whatever you can, submit to their authority so that they do their job with joy and not with grief, because it really is to your benefit. Be open and eager to work towards this mutual improvement of yourself and every member of the ecclesia. Submit your own personal prejudices and your own desires to that which benefits the group and not just yourself. Because remember, you're part of a larger body. Continuing in Hebrews 13, verse 20 from the NIV. May the God of grace, the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. Wow. Equip you with everything good for doing his will, that he may work in us what is pleasing to him. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Verse 22. Brethren, I urge you to bear with my word of exhortation.